Hello, amazing entrepreneur. It's Tash Corbin here, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. This is episode number 208, which means that you can find all the relevant links and show notes over at tashcorbin.com/208. In this episode, we are going to deal with such an icky topic, but it's something we need to talk about. And that is what to do when someone says, "Give me back my money." When you get refund requests from customers or people wanting to drop out of your coaching packages, how do you handle it? What do you do? Have you completely failed? No, you haven't. We're going to deal with all of this in today's episode. So let's dive straight on in. I'm Tash Corbin, and this is the Heart Centered Business Podcast. Ugh, I can feel your discomfort through your headphones right now. It is so icky. That feeling, even just the fear of having it happen, someone's going to ask you for a refund, or someone's going to want to drop out of working with you, or you know, someone's going to do something of yours and they don't feel like they got value, and they're going to tell you it was horrible and they're going to demand that they get their money back. Oh my goodness, it is so icky. Now, for all of you tappers out there, feel free to do some EFT as you're listening along to this if any of those feelings are coming up for you. Because I totally understand, as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, especially for those of us who have personal brands and we put our heart and soul into our business, having someone say, "That wasn't good enough," or "That isn't good enough," or "I don't want that anymore," feels like they're saying, "You as a person are not good enough," or "That you as a person have failed." And there's a lot of emotion tied up in that sense of someone doesn't want to work with me anymore, or they want their money back. So I want us to take a little bit of an objective step back for a moment. I've got three things that you can do to address that when it happens. But I just want us to take that objective step back first and think about our experiences, not just as the seller, but also as a buyer. Because the truth is that we can have both good and bad experiences with refunds and people dropping out as the seller, but also as the buyer. And I have plenty of examples of these as well. So I know for myself, I was working with a VIP mentor once, and after a couple of sessions together, I started to feel like we weren't a great match. One of the key reasons was that the business and marketing strategies that they were trying to get me to use didn't really feel like they were aligned with my values. And I also felt like I got very overloaded in the first couple of weeks and then kind of left high and dry for a little while. So I reached out to that person and I expressed how I was feeling with the intention of us having a conversation about it and working out how we could continue working together, but in a way that was better suited to my needs. I instantly received back an email that basically blamed me, told me that it was all my mindset that was the problem, and gave me a list of all the reasons why the provider was doing the right thing and myself as the client was doing all the wrong things. And it left such a bad taste in my mouth, and I didn't know how I was going to continue working with that person after the way that they had reacted to my initial inquiries about maybe adjusting the way that we worked together. So it was a really interesting experience for me as a buyer to experience the backlash of not even asking for a refund, but just looking to pivot the way that we were working together. I've also had times where I've tried to get a refund from a course or program because what was on the inside did not match what was advertised, and having to jump through a bunch of hoops in order to access that refund felt really gross. So I had one course that I did, and one of the things that just kept being said in the promotional webinars and on the sales page was that there was a 30-day no questions asked money back guarantee. And so I felt very safe in buying that because I knew that I could jump in, give it a go, and see what it was like and decide whether it was actually the right fit for me. Now, silly me didn't read the terms and conditions when I purchased that course, and I never make that mistake again. I always always read the terms and conditions very specifically when I buy courses now. And one of the things that happened for me was I jumped into that program and then I sent an email just 5 days after joining and said, actually, I would like to access the 30-day no questions asked money back guarantee, because on watching the first two modules, I can see that this is in alignment with the way that I want to grow my business and market my business. Some of the strategies that were being taught, I just felt were really pushy and aggressive, and I didn't really want to engage in that way. And I didn't say that in my email. I just said it just didn't really feel like a good fit for me. The strategies weren't the type of thing that I was expecting. And I didn't feel that what was offered and promised in the promotion was really matched by the quality of the program on the inside. And particularly, there was a lot of promise of lots of connection. And then when I got inside the program, the calls weren't run as Q&A calls, the calls were run as teaching calls. So you couldn't even ask questions and things. And it was just not a good fit for the type of way that I like to learn. So when I sent through my refund request, I got a canned response that said, this is a digital product and there are no refunds. So then I emailed back and said, well, actually, on the webinar, there was a promise of a 30-day no questions asked money back guarantee. So I'd like to access that refund, please. And I then got an email back that said, you need to read the terms and conditions of the course. Here's what the terms and conditions are. And there was a link to a PDF. And in the terms and conditions, it says you get access to a 30-day refund so long as you do the work. And doing the work involved completing at least 5 modules and investing at least $500 in Facebook ads using the strategies that were taught. So what they required for me to get the refund was to actually take a screenshot of my Facebook ads account to show that I had spent $500 on Facebook ads. I had never run Facebook ads up until that point, and so I didn't have the evidence to provide to be able to get that refund. Now, through a lot of back and forth emails, I eventually was able to get a 50% refund on the program. But again, I would never recommend that program to anyone, nor will I ever follow that person again. And it has left a really bad taste in my mouth. So as a buyer, I know what it's like to ask for a refund and then be forced to jump through hoops or be told that it's my fault. I even have another example that's not with online business, where I bought one of those Nutribullet things, right? And I bought it, and on the box, it said it was dishwasher safe on the top shelf, right? So I bought this thing. I was getting into smoothies. I totally fell in love with it. And one day I popped the two cups. I'd bought extra cups. I popped the two cups into the top shelf of the dishwasher as instructed, popped in the dishwasher. When the dishwasher was finished, both of my cups had melted and completely deformed. And I got in contact with the company and I checked the instruction manual. I checked on the box. I checked everywhere. Everywhere said, it's completely dishwasher safe as long as it's on the top shelf. And that is exactly what I did. When I called their customer service line, I had to speak to 3 different people, and all 3 of those people accused me of putting it in the wrong spot in the dishwasher. They all said, you must have put it on the bottom shelf because it's top shelf safe. I was like, I can assure you it was definitely on the top shelf and it has melted. And then they tried to get me to like give them my dishwasher model and all sorts of different things. And they kept just saying, it's your fault. It's your fault. You've done something wrong. You've done something wrong. And then when I called, they made me wait for the regional manager to give me a call. And when the regional manager called me, she said, well, actually, it's not guaranteed dishwasher safe. If you read the instructions, it says it's better to hand wash, but you can put them on the top shelf of the dishwasher. I was like, but I did put them on the top shelf of the dishwasher. And this was like this crazy, I get in this space when I'm asking for refunds of like being like a dog with a bone. Like it would have been easier for me. I think it was like $125 for a completely new machine with all the new cups. Like I totally could have just bought a completely new machine. But I just got on, you know, it's the principle of the thing, right? You just get into this space of, hang on a minute, you are telling me that I've done the wrong thing and therefore I cannot access the refund as is clearly written in your terms and conditions. And it didn't perform as the way as it was expected to. And so therefore I'm entitled to a refund. And because I've done consumer law as part of my degree, and also I'm kind of into a lot of that like buyer psychology and consumer affairs and all those sorts of things, I'm very clear on my rights. Yeah. And so I just imagine all of the other people who aren't clear on their rights, who just take it what they're told and they're like, oh, okay, that's fine. And they just take the blame and walk away. And I feel like my little win is a win for everyone. And so I do get a little bit, you know, like a dog with a bone when it comes to getting my refunds. But because I have that experience and because I know what it feels like to be on the other side, for me as a seller, I want to make sure that I provide a really amazing experience for people, even when they're asking for a refund. And because of that, I actually find that the energetic and emotional feelings that I have about refunds are way lower than people who may be still feeling scared about them. And I even know for myself as a seller, I've had good and bad experiences in giving refunds. So when I have been really personally invested in that person staying or that person's business or results or whatever it is, I've crossed a boundary into really, really needing them to be successful because I've attached it to my identity or my value, then that's when I have tricky experiences with refund requests. But when I have that clear boundary that that person's business and that person staying with me or not staying with me is actually doesn't reflect upon who I am as a person and what my values are and the value and worth of me as a human being, that disconnection or that boundary really helps me to experience refunds in a really positive way as an online service provider. So my three tips for you for when people ask for their money back or inquire about dropping out of working with you as a client. Number one, keep it classy. So we have so many horror stories, and we know people are way more willing to share the bad horror stories than they share the positive stories. Now, if I have a refund experience and it has been really positive, I make sure that I'm conscious of sharing a great experience and continuing to support that person because they've kept it classy. But a lot of people don't really think about those sorts of things. We understand that. But if they have a bad experience, if you don't stay classy in that experience, it is going to be shared. So we want to make sure that you really keep it classy, that you treat that person the way you would like to be treated if you were requesting a refund. And remember, we've all been through those horrible situations. Don't be someone who perpetuates those horrible situations for others. And I also want to add to this, even the passive aggressive post on Facebook is not classy. So I've had this happen to me before where I've requested a refund from someone. They've been totally classy about it to my face. No questions asked, giving me my money back. And then they've gone onto their Facebook page the next day and said, "So long, terrible client, blah, 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 blah. This is why you weren't meant to work with me in the first place, da, 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 da," right? And they've basically celebrated my refund request and me not working with them anymore. But they've also given a passive aggressive message that it was my fault, that there was something wrong with me, that it was because I wasn't their ideal client, and that like their life is so much better because I've disappeared from it. And even that is really not classy. I know that you're not actually calling someone out or anything along those lines, but to be honest, when I see other service providers or people online who are sharing any of that passive aggressive gross stuff on their Facebook page, it says way more about the person posting it than it does about the person who's left and asked for a refund. So just check in with yourself. I know that sometimes we want to just go out there and celebrate in a way that's in our space or in a safe space for ourselves. And we want to convince ourselves that it's totally okay and it doesn't mean anything about us and it's more about them than it is about us. But you need to be really mindful of the audience that you choose for sharing that kind of post. So if you don't already have one, I suggest getting yourself a little Lady Posse Wolf pack of just a few people where you have a safe space to go and have that debrief and download without necessarily downloading on your entire audience. Because there have been people I've gone to work with and then I've seen these passive aggressive style posts, whether that's been in courses we've done together, or in free Facebook groups we're in together, or whether it's on their Facebook page or Instagram. And that has turned me off working with them, because I think about, like, who is that poor person? What did they do? And would I end up being that person if I decided to work with this person? So you just want to make sure that you keep it classy. Number one. Number two, there are some big positives from refund requests. Now, if someone has signed up to work with you for a 6-month package, and after a month they decide, you know what, I'm not sure this is the right fit for me, I'm not getting the outcomes, whatever it might be, that's actually really good information for you. And if they aren't the ideal client and they don't see themselves getting great results from staying with you for 6 months, wouldn't you rather them articulate that early, rather than just staying with you and going through the motions and being someone who after 6 months hasn't really got great results, or feels like it hasn't really been the best experience for them, or it hasn't been a great fit? You don't want to force someone to stay working with you if they don't feel like it is a great fit, if they don't feel like they're getting great value. My goal for everyone who joins my programs, who works with me one-on-one, is that they end that time together loving it. And if it's not a 100% heck yes, loved it, then I want to know as soon as possible what it is that they don't love about it. And B, if there's a good reason why it's not a fit for them, I would much rather give them a refund and clear that space for someone for whom it is the right fit. You also want to make sure that you are not creating really weird standards for yourself. One of the other positives about refund requests is that there are industry norms. There is a normal refund rate of between 3 and 5% of people who buy online courses. There's a normal dropout rate between 3 and 5% of people who sign up for your VIP work. So if you are trying to keep a 0% refund rate, then chances are you're going to fail. And for a lot of people, the positive of getting a refund request is that it's actually still well below industry average. So it's totally brilliant to celebrate that someone has opted out and someone who isn't the right fit for it or isn't going to get great value from it has decided that it's not for them. And then the third positive that comes from getting a refund request is that it's a rite of passage. So when you get that first refund request, I want you to celebrate it, because baby, you made it. Every business has refund requests, every business. And you cannot have a multi-million dollar online business without refund requests. Aiming to do that is aiming for failure. So instead, if we aim to stay around or below industry averages, and we celebrate those refund requests as the right people are staying in and the people for whom it's not the right fit are dropping out, then all of a sudden, refunds just feel like a normal part of business, and it's a totally positive part of business. And then the third piece of advice is to look for the opportunity. So when you get a refund request, there's often a lot of opportunity in that refund request. Number one, there's an opportunity to review, do you have good refund systems in place? So when people request a refund for my programs, I don't actually know about it anymore. My customer service team take care of that for me. They refund the person. The person can tell us why, or they don't have to tell us why. The only time I know about refunds is if we have a big spike in them and it's a troubling spike and it's something that we need to actually deal with. So long as it stays under our normal average of under 2%, don't even need to know about the refund request. So the system makes it really easy for that person to get their refund. The system makes it really easy for me to not get bogged down in even worrying about the refunds, because industry averages, it doesn't matter. And the system also means that those refund requests are recorded and reported appropriately, and I can pay attention to the refund rate to see if there's a spike or if there's anything I need to be worried about. But if there's nothing I need to be worried about, I'm not worried about it. So the first opportunity is systems, looking at the ways that your systems actually deal with those refund requests. The second opportunity it presents is a chance for you to review your policies. Because for a lot of people, the reason why refunds feel really awkward is because they don't actually have a clear and concise refund policy in place. So it's a bit of a gray area. And then you're left with this like needing to make a decision about whether that person is entitled to a refund or not without having clear guidelines and policies that will give you a straightforward answer. So if you are the kind of person who hasn't got refund policies in place, you don't have terms and conditions in place, you don't necessarily have clear guidelines on what to do if someone is looking for a refund or if something's not the fit for them or any of those sorts of things, that refund request is your opportunity to review those policies, get them set up in place, to think about, had I considered that this might be something that might happen? Now, one of the big ones for me on this is working with people one-to-one, right? So working with VIP clients. Now, the completely risk-averse approach to dealing with this would be to have people sign a contract, and in that contract you would have very clear terms and conditions about refunds, about dropping out, about failed payments on payment plans and those sorts of things, so that it's like completely written to the letter. Now, the totally opposite end of the spectrum would be to not even talk about it, and we don't want to be at the total opposite end of the spectrum. Usually it's somewhere from the middle to the very risk-averse space that you want to be in when it comes to having a refund policy and a dropout policy for people working with you as a VIP. Now, the reason why I really want to focus down on this one is because I have heard some horror stories, and I've also heard of people using the contract style way of working with people as a way of basically separating themselves from needing to deliver good services to their customers. So I had a client who had previously been working with someone else, and she had been working on a 6-month VIP package with this person with a negotiated price, and she was paying on a monthly rate. And it was after 3 months of working with this person, she realized that she was not getting the level of support and handholding that she thought she was going to be getting in that package. She was not getting enough detail in the execution of the strategy that she was learning. And so therefore, she was finding she wasn't getting any results from the process, and she was just feeling more and more overwhelmed, and she was being told she needed to hire more and more and more team members, which was never anything that was discussed when they first started working together. So she actually reached out to me to ask for some advice on how she should approach this and how does she raise this with the person. Again, it wasn't through the lens of wanting a refund or wanting to drop out at first, but just wanting to re-clarify what were the deliverables and how much more money would this person need to invest in order to get the results. Because, truth be told, she had invested her last money that she had in her business in working with this person, thinking that if she invested in this coaching, she'd be able to put those strategies in place and get return on investment. And she didn't realize, and there was no conversation, that there would be another $10,000 to $15,000 worth of hiring that this person would need to do in order to be able to scale the business and get the sales and get the results. And so I helped her draft up a little email to start indicating that maybe she, it wasn't quite the meeting the expectations, and could they have a conversation about where to from here? And the provider wrote back and said, if at any time you don't think it's the right fit, you can totally just stop working with me. However, as per the contract, you need to complete your payment plan. So instantly after sending that email, the client was told, well, I don't really want to work with you either. And if you don't want to work with me, I don't want to work with you, but you still have to keep paying me. And they were using that contract as a means of saying, well, the law's the law, you still have to pay me. And ultimately, that is not how I want to show up as a provider online. And it would be interesting for you to reflect on, how do you want to show up as a provider online? Yes, your rights as the seller need to be protected, but also you have an obligation as the seller and provider to deliver on what you promise and to be upfront at the start of the process about what it's going to look like and what people can expect. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't have contracts or you should have contracts or whatever it might be, but I do think no matter what it is that you are selling, no matter how you deliver those products or services, no matter how risk averse or risk friendly you are, you just want to make sure at the start of any engagement that you're really clear on what your rights and responsibilities are, what your buyer's rights and responsibilities are, and what you're going to do if either party feels like it's not a great fit anymore. And you don't need to necessarily have a detailed contract that covers those things off. I personally cover that off in a very informal confirmation email. Some industries you do need to have it in writing, like if you're doing handling someone's finances or you're doing something in health, sometimes you do need to actually have a contract. But for me, I actually have an informal confirmation email that talks about those core things. And it also very clearly says that we are two grown adults. And if at any point in this arrangement, either of us feels it's not a fit anymore, here is what we're going to do. One, we're going to talk about it and see if we can adjust what is being delivered, how it's being delivered, in order to make sure it fits both parties' needs. Two, if the person decides that they don't want to do it anymore, here's how the refund or payment would be renegotiated or adjusted in order to reflect the level of service that had already been provided. And also, here's what to do if you're not happy with that. So it's a really simple way of just being really clear. Now, that approach came through a couple of refund requests. So there were a couple of times in my business where it was actually one refund request and one dropout where I realized that I hadn't made that 100% clear. And so with the refund request, the person had been a little bit unhappy with the level of stretch that I was not giving them. So they wanted to be stretched and pushed further. And I was still working on the basics with their business because their foundations needed some work. So the person wasn't happy that they weren't doing the more advanced style strategies. But for 2 months, 4 sessions, they hadn't said anything because they didn't know how to raise it. And so it ended up escalating for them behind the scenes and kind of blowing up as a, oh, I haven't been happy for 3 months and I don't know what to do and you're not pushing me enough and I want to do the advanced stuff and you keep telling me I need to do it. And it was like this crazy, like, oh, all of these things were unfolded. Now, I took a day. I read the email several times and then I recognized that I hadn't been upfront about what to do if someone didn't feel like it was meeting their needs. And so that person got a partial refund and we stopped working together. And I sent them to actually a friend of mine who I thought would be able to help them with the more advanced stuff. And it actually ended up working out really well. And as a result of that, I included an extra part in my confirmation email when we first start working together on what to do in that situation. So I also just want to say all of these things are through the lens of it's all a practice. And sometimes you don't know what refunds people are going to want or how people are going to want you to deal with things or what boundaries people are going to be pushing until those boundaries are pushed. And so all you can do is just set yourself up with some systems and some basic policies or get some advice from a legal representative to help you set yourself up in a way that feels good for you. And no, you might have to make some adjustments on the way. You don't need to get it perfect from the very start. Now, the final opportunity that I want to talk about from a refund request is the learning opportunities. So it might be that your sales processes aren't clearly articulating how your services are delivered, or your sales processes are promising things that aren't necessarily clearly delivered in your services. The other thing is, it might be that your marketing is attracting in people who aren't the right fit because of the way that you talk about something or the audience that you're advertising to. There's a bunch of reasons why it might not be working. So a refund request and a bunch of refund requests, if you're selling courses, is a great opportunity to look at where there might be a disconnect. And don't be afraid of asking people, can I just, you know, you don't have to answer, you still got your refund, it's totally fine. But for my learning experiences, can I please understand why you think it's not a fit to what you thought you were joining? What did you think you were going to get and what didn't you get out of that that has made you feel like you need to get a refund from this? Now, I only ever ask that question after I've given the refund. So I answer the question, I answer the email, we give the refund, all of those sorts of things. And then We just ask for our information purposes for any feedback that may have been able to help us to prevent this issue. And that is a really beautiful learning opportunity as well. It helps me to get clearer with my offers and also just really make sure that when I am getting clear on who my ideal clients are and when I'm putting information about my courses together, that it really speaks to the level of information and detail that people need to make an empowered decision, and people aren't making assumptions about what's included. So there you have it, three things that will help you deal with those refund requests, whether you're doing it in advance before you get them or after they come in. And that is to stay classy, look for those positives, and look at all the amazing opportunities that that refund request will give you. Now, I also just want to say in closing of this podcast episode is that refund requests are all part of scaling your business. The larger your business becomes, the more clients you have, the more likely you are to get some of those refund requests. So please, 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 if I can leave you with one thing, it's the understanding that a refund request is not a reflection of your value as a human being. A refund request does not mean that you are a failure at business. A refund request is simply a part of your business scaling, and it's a sign that you are on your way to bigger and better things. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. Have you got any questions or podcast light bulb moments that happened as a result of this episode? Come on into the Heart Centered Soul Driven Entrepreneurs Facebook community. Use the hashtag podcastaha and let me know that you've been listening to episode number 208. And let me know any aha moments, light bulbs, or questions that you might have in relation to refunds. Until next time, I cannot wait to see you shine. Big love from me, and bye for now. Would you like more tips, tools, and resources to help you grow your heart-centered business? Head to tashcorbin.com today.